hadn't even performed the ceremony, but he's informing the father-in-law that, yes, I will accept your daughter, but you should understand that very soon I will take sannyas, which means within a short time, within a year or two. As soon as the child is born, son is born, I will leave. So how is Kardama Muni able to have such a dhrita vracha, such a firm vow, such a determination? The way he was able to have it is by performing the brahmacharya vracha. This verse is discussing the varnashram system given by Lord Vishnu. And here we see an example of the good result of brahmachari life. Traditionally in Vedic society, a young boy would go to Gurukul and he would for 20 years be brahmachari. Brahmachari means he would be studying the shastras so he would attain transcendental knowledge. Brahmachari means he would be performing austerity so he would attain detachment. He would become detached from the material body, from his family. Already practicing detachment because he leaves his family at 5 years old. Boy, that's a big exercise in detachment. We find in Kali Yuga, of course, it's very difficult because of the parent, more so because of the parents are attached rather than the children. But traditionally, the boy would be taken at 5 years old, so that's a big detachment, to leave your mother and father in the comfortable surroundings of home and to go into the woods, into the ashram, where there are tigers and bears and snakes and so many things, and live a surrendered life in service to the guru. But that was done by human beings to progress spiritually and attain the goal of human life, pure love for Krishna, liberation of the spiritual world. So when a boy would begin like that, by performing austerities, by studying the shastras, and by serving the spiritual masters, he would attain brahma-jignasa. He would understand, aham brahmasmi, I am not the body, I am Brahman, I am brahmachari. I am following the behaviors to realize Brahman. I am acting on the path to realize my spiritual nature, that I am not this body. So that process takes about 20 years, from 5 years old to 25. And at 25, such a human being, such a cultured gentleman, brahmachari, if he's inclined, as Kardama Muni is, he will express a desire to the spiritual master, or the spiritual master will also understand, by knowing the psychological makeup of his disciple, that this disciple wants to be married. But then the disciple, the brahmachari, he will enter Grihastha Ashram. So here in this verse, we're having an example of the classic Vedic brahmachari. This is the classic Vedic brahmachari, Kardama Muni, performing brahmachari for 20, 25 years, very austere, living in a hermitage in the mountains, dressing very austerely, fixed on Krishna, completely detached. So detached that when a woman was brought to him, of course he had some desire for marriage, but when the goddess of fortune, a lady, Devahuti, was compared to be as beautiful as the goddess of fortune, when she came before him, he didn't immediately forget his vow. He didn't forget his dhrita vracha, his firm vow. He didn't become weakened in his determination to give up family life. Still, even seeing such a beautiful woman who would become his wife, he was detached, and he told the father. He said, yes, I agree. In the previous verses, he's saying, yes, she is very cultured, she is very beautiful, and I've heard that one demigod fell out of his airplane when he saw her playing ball on the roof. He was driving his airplane, he completely fell out of his airplane. She was so beautiful, he just completely lost everything. So he's not that kind of personality. He's not one of these demigods who will fall out of his airplane when he sees his beautiful wife, or a beautiful woman. He's saying he's appreciating, he's glorifying, he's saying, yes, she's very beautiful, she's very nice. But now in this verse, he's saying all that, which is etiquette, the way to glorify and the way to show proper respect to your father-in-law, future father-in-law. But at the same time, he's reminding him, don't be surprised if I leave her, in 1 year or 2 years. I'm telling you now that I will follow this path at a very young age. So we have, in our society, we have these four ashrams basically represented. We have brahmacharya, Brahmacharya, we have Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Now, we find that many of our Grihasthas, they are going on in years. They're becoming 45, 46, 40, 40 years old. They're getting older. But we don't find much discussion about when am I going to take sannyas. We don't find much discussion amongst themselves or even this. Meeting with sannyasis or brahmacharis, how can I prepare myself to take sannyas? What should I do? When should I do it? We don't hear much of these things. In fact, we find that devotees in ISKCON, they practically become more attached to their families and their children than the people outside of ISKCON. Become very, very attached. And some of the devotees, some of the very honest Grihasthas will admit in confidence, and that sometimes they reveal their mind, they say, I've been married for 12 years, and I thought that I would become detached as the 12 years went on. I thought I would become gradually detached, but I'm finding myself very much more attached. The children are coming, and I'm becoming very attached. What to do? I know I should become detached. So there's a problem. How to implement the Vedic system? It all begins with day one. Prabhupada used to say, if you make a calculation, 2 and 2 is 5, then every number that you add onto that incorrect calculation will be wrong, because you began with the wrong computation. In the same way, how do you begin to take sannyas? You begin to take sannyas with Garbhadhan Samskara. That's how you begin to take sannyas. When we're conceived at the time of conception, when such a highest living entity is invited into the womb by the attraction of the pure spiritual consciousness of the husband and wife at the time of conception, that's Garbhadhan. Garbha means the womb, placing of the seed in the womb, inviting, attracting a particular type of living entity of a certain consciousness. So unfortunately, most of us were not born of devotee parents, the older Grihasthas. We are born in Maya, of karmic parents. So consequently, our consciousness is not so evolved. Our purity is not so great. So that's the first point. The first calculation was wrong. Then after that, no one. Everyone went to Asura Kula. This is a school of Nandana Marta, the school of Hiranyakashipu, Asura Kula. And we were trained in all the wrong things. And simply, rather than cultivating spiritual knowledge, we cultivated mundane material knowledge, which is haunting me like a witch. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this mundane knowledge is haunting me like a witch. It has no value. We spend our lifetime in Asura Kula, cultivating mundane material knowledge about how to make the body happy, how to make the body comfortable, and how to become completely engrossed and attached to the material body. And we don't perform any austerity. There's no question of austerity. In fact, we try to enjoy as much as possible and remove all difficulties from our environment. Reduce, eliminate, and annihilate all discomfort from our environment. If it's too cold, we buy a heater. If it's too hot, we buy an air conditioner. If it's too noisy, we make soundproof walls. Everything we want, controlled environment, for pleasure, for bodily happiness. So now, a person grows up in that situation for 25 years, and then he comes to Krishna consciousness. Hari Bo! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he becomes a brahmachari. So he stays a brahmachari for 3 years. Of course, before he was a brahmachari, he had so many relationships. The ladies have so many relationships with boys before they come to Krishna consciousness. The boys have so many relationships with the girls, illicit relationships. So then they come at 25 years old and they start their brahmachari life. So now they practice brahmachari for 5 years and they say, oh, Guru Maharaj, I think I must be married. All right, you take this girl, you marry him, and like that. So they become married. So what kind of Grihastha can he be? What kind of Grihastha can he be? It's very difficult. So naturally, we are compassionate for one another. In the same way, what kind of sannyasi can one be with that same training? is all by Guru Kripa. It's by mercy of Guru and Nam Kripa. And Nam Kripa. That anything is there, any grihastha life is there. So it's very difficult, and that's to be understood. And nevertheless, when we take the vow at initiation, we promise to follow the four requisite principles, whether we're brahmachari, or grihastha, or vanaprastha, or sannyasa. And those four requisite principles are no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat, fish, or eggs, or things. So, at first it would seem impossible. If you read the biography, Lilamrita, the devotee, Satsarupa Maharaj, I was reading last night, and he was saying that we thought it would be impossible for us to give up the illicit sex. But the Swami said, don't you worry, you just chant Hare Krishna, and you come every day and associate with me. So within 3 weeks, I gave everything up. And I was ready to move in. I was ready to become a devotee. Just 3 weeks of chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the Mahabhagavat, Śrīla Bhakta, Śrīla Prabhupāda, was able to give everything up. So this is the power, the holy name in the age of Kali. Although we have no qualification, we become qualified. When Śrīla Prabhupāda was talking about Grihastha life in the early days, 1966, he was explaining in one lecture. He said, so in Grihastha life, Grihastha who wants to beget Krishna conscious children, he can engage in sex life once in a month. But unfortunately, let me just finish the story. So he said that a Krishna conscious Grihastha who wants to beget a Krishna conscious child, which is the purpose of sex life, he may engage, or she may engage, once in a month to produce such a child and raise him in Krishna consciousness. And Hayagriva, one of Prabhupada's disciples, was sitting next to him. And he said, when he heard that, he kind of blurted out, once in a month? What, only once in a month? And then he kind of laughed and said, well, why even bother? Why even go to the trouble getting married? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, yes, yes, this is it. Good boy. Hariho! Brahmachari ji! So Hayagriva said, why even bother? And Prabhupada said, yes, this is it. Good boy. You have understood. You chant Hare Krishna and forget the whole thing. So, although this is the easy way, chant Hare Krishna and forget the whole thing, it is very difficult. So the ashrams are there to follow. But what we find is that the grihasthas, they kind of modify the instructions of Prabhupada. So what used to be having, if you want to have children, then you can. Actually, there's another conversation where the devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if you can only have, the husbands can only enjoy once in a month of when they want to have children, and they only want to have two children, say if they want a little, replicate themselves, they want a little boy and a little girl, the usual ego. So they want two children, so that means in their whole life of marriage, they can only have sex two times. Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, what is this? So this is Krishna consciousness. So what we find over the years is that there's been different purports given to Prabhupada's absolute statement. One purport is that for grihasthas, it's okay to have sex every month. Prabhupada said that grihasthas can have sex every month, period. That's called contextual quoting. Contextual quoting. You take out what you like and you leave what you take out what you want and you forget what you don't want. Like the guru might say, every day you should chant 16 rounds. So then his devotee, the disciple who's a little clever, he says, my guru Maharaj said, every day I should chant. So every day I chant Hare Krishna. But he said, every day you should chant 16 rounds. So the contextual is when you just die and sin will run. Contextual is when you just take out the part you like. Well, I'm chanting. Well, how many rounds?
Well, no.
One. No, Guru Maharaj said, every day you should chant 16 rounds. Just like Śrīla Prabhupāda said, if you plan to create, to raise Krishna-conscious children, then you can have sex once in a month. And once you have a child, once your baby is pregnant, then there's no more sex until that child is delivered and 6 or 8 months after that. This is a Vedic system for good health, and of course this is religious. This is the law. So the Shabbatai in Bhagavatam, he's explaining to about the purpose, the whole purpose of being a guru, guru and associate, for the known and associate. Pati, associate, Jajani, Janani, Janani, says, father or mother, once you not become a guru, once you not become a father or a mother, unless you can liberate his dependents from birth and death. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could have Krishna conscious children, I would have sex hundreds of times. But because the eyes of Sudharamaru. But because this is Kali Yuga, and it's highly doubtful that such children would be born, I decided not to do it. So Bhaktisiddhanta remained a nice sticky brahmachari. He was celibate throughout his whole life. But he said, if I can raise. So this is the law that Grihasthas, their duty is to produce a Krishna conscious child. Kardama Muni is explaining, I want to produce, and the purport probably explains how that Grihastha life needs to produce a son, produce a child that's a devotee of the Lord. There are two kinds of sons one can have. One is a son that is Krishna conscious. You teach him to become Krishna conscious, he becomes liberated. He becomes a Krishna conscious pure devotee. The other kind of son is a ray of Vishnu. And this is the type of son that Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. And that ray of Vishnu came in the form of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur. And that ray of Vishnu is a special kind of son. Not only is he Krishna conscious and a pure devotee of the Lord, but he spreads it all over the world, just like a ray of the sun. The sun sits in one place, it spreads its rays all over the universe and makes everything live and grow and thrive. So the pure devotee, wherever he sits, he spreads his rays of pure bhakti all over the living entities, all over the universe, and purifies, elevates, and enlivens all the sleeping souls. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gauracham devotion. So this is the idea. Now, okay, here's the problem. What to do? I'm a Grihastha. I've been a Grihastha for 15 years. I didn't have any brahmachari training. What to do? What we have to do, or what we should have been doing all along, is be exactly what Prabhupada told us to be. Prabhupada said we should be brahmachari Grihasthas. He said, my Grihasthas are not Grihasthas. They're brahmachari Grihasthas. So brahmachari means that when you enter the Grihastha ashram, you live a brahmachari life. In that same way, you follow the four principles of spiritual life. If you don't want any children, okay, no sex. No children means no sex. If you want children, then you can enjoy. Otherwise, forget it. You break the law, you go to hell. And you stay in the material world. Birth after birth. The whole idea is to get free from the shackles. Pumsa maturni sriha. Pumsa sriha maturni sriha. Problem in court. Anyway, get free from the attached and the sex. So when they become married, they think, well now, ultimately I have to follow the example of the acharyas by Kardama Muni. I'm married, I have to get children, and then I give it all up. How do I give it all up? You have to attain transcendental knowledge. You have to attain purity of heart. So that means you have to follow the same life that a brahmachari follows in the ashram of the guru. For 20 years, he's preparing himself for the grihastha life, ultimate detachment. And for him, it's easy to become detached. So we have to make up for lost time. If we're at grihastha, we've never had any brahmachari life, or we only had 5 years of brahmachari life, no wonder we're so attached. No wonder we can't detach ourselves or free ourselves from the gross attachment to sex life. Because we're not following the path of detachment. So we have to modify our lives. We have to change the direction of our ashram. In other words, we have to study. Grihasthas have to study the shastra to attain Jitya Jnana, transcendental knowledge. To realize, I'm not this body. I'm not the husband. I'm not the man. I'm not a woman. I'm not the wife. I'm not the mother. I'm not the father. I'm a spirit soul. And I'm just another spirit soul. I'm the guru of this child. I'm the guru. The mother is the guru, the father is the guru. He says, Janani, Janani, Pita and Janani. The Janani is also guru. Shabari is considered the Janani, the wife is the guru, and the father is the guru. And who is your tailor? Who is your shiksha? Your boy, your girl. They're your disciple. You're the guru. So what example are you, how are you being an acharya? How are you a Janani acharya? Or a Pita acharya? Or a Grihastha acharya? Are you setting the right example of detachment and pure Krishna consciousness for your children? So, first thing is we have to study. Not that only Brahmacharya study, or only Grihastha, I don't study, I don't do business. We should study and attain this transcendental knowledge, because by the power of this transcendental knowledge, we can develop detachment. Then, we have to perform austerity. Oh, I'm not, why should I fast on Ekadasi? I'm a Grihastha. That's for the Brahmacharya, Sannyasi. No. All the great, Prabhupada would fast on Ekadasi. So many great devotees will fast on Ekadasi, even the Grihasthas. Because we need all the mercy we can get. We should understand it. I'm not really a teacher of time. I have to really study, even more than a Brahmacharya. Because he has 20 years to work at detachment. And I have to perform austerities. Every opportunity I get, I should fast and increase my chanting and service. And the other point is, the Prabhupada said that the Grihastha should engage in deity worship. They should worship the deity to attain purity of heart and detachment from the body. By worshiping the deity, the form of the Lord, Radha Madhava and Asasati, one attains detachment from the material body. Because when he finishes his puja, they gently and lovingly he touches the lotus feet of Radha Madhava and he prays to them for pure bhakti, for prema bhakti, and complete attachment to the lotus feet and detachment from his horrible material body. So this is the law. So we have to actually, Prabhupada sometimes he would say at 50 years old we should take sannyas. But generally, the Vedic system life was divided into four portions, based on a calculation of 100 years. 25 years brahmachari, okay, and then from 25 till you're 50 years old, at 50 years old you take, 25 you become grihastha, from 25 to 50 years old, you're grihastha, then at 50 years old you go to the fire, vanaprastha, and then at 75, you take sannyas. In the last 25 years you lead a life of total attachment to Krishna, detachment from family, society and friends, relatives. But nowadays, people don't live to be 100. People only live, let's have to back it up, people only live to be 80 maximum. So now you divide 80 into four portions. 0 to 20 years old, brahmachari life. 20 years old to 40 years old, grihastha life. 40 years old, vanaprastha. And then 60 years old, sannyas. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada lived to be 81, his manifest pastime. So, at the age of 63, he took sannyas. He was 63 years old. So from 63 to 80, so 20 years he was sannyas. So we can follow that example. So that makes us all start to think, well, wait a minute. 40 years old, I'm supposed to take vanaprastha. Hey, wait a minute. I'm going to live to be 100. I'm definitely going to live to be 100, so let me give me a few more years of my family life here. I know I'm really going to live to be 100, so I can stay until 50 years old, then I can go to Vanaprastha. Or I'm living in, Vrindavan, Mayapur is like a forest, so I'm already in Vanaprastha, so I'll stay with my family till I'm 75. So the 75 is supposed to take sannyas, so I'll just mix the Grihastha ashram with the Vanaprastha ashram and stay in Vrindavan. And I'm living in the holy forest of Mayapur, Vrindavan, it's not different. So I don't have to even think about sannyas till I'm 75. Well, that's a very nice, clever calculation. But you may get shortchanged by Yamaraj. Or not Yamaraj, but at least death may come. Mrityu may come and change up your idea of how long you would live. So let's be very honest with ourselves. If you want to really be honest, go to your local astrologer, your local punditry, and have to tell you when you're going to die. My dear astrologer, look at my chart. Tell me when will I die. You will die right now. By King Katvanga. King Katvanga, he went to his astrologer. He said, oh, astrologer. He said, oh, Anantarupa. Anantarupa is astrologer. Anantarupa. He said, oh, how long will I live? He said, you will live for 3 seconds. So he only had a few seconds, so immediately, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. He immediately took shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So if you want to be very, very sure, you can go to your astrologer. And he says, well, according to your chart, it says you will be married. Yeah, okay, I'm married. And according to your chart, it says you'll have 2 children. Yeah, okay, that's right. According to your chart, it says you'll fight with your wife. Yeah, that's right. And according to your chart, it says you'll die when you're 59. Huh? 59? I'm 46 now. Hey, that wasn't in my calculation. That wasn't part of my plan. I mean, I had a whole plan of it. You know, I was going to stay married till I was 62, like blah, blah, and then I'm sorry. I mean, you're a lousy astrologer. I'm going to another astrologer. You don't know what you're talking about. So he goes to a second astrologer, and he says, look, I already have my chart done. Just give me the reading. When will I die? 59. You're a lousy astrologer. So he goes to a third astrologer, and he also says 59. So if there's any validity to the Vedic science of astrology, we can have some understanding of how long we will live by that computation or investigation. And then we can become a little more sober, a little more serious. Of course, the real serious devotee will think that today is my last day. Today is my last day. How will I worship Radha-Madhava? How will I remember them through the day? How will I please my spiritual master with my service? How will I please the devotees by my behavior and my sadhana? How will I live as a perfect? How will I leave? This is my last day in this world. How will I live this last day in Mayapur? Will I offend the Vaishnavas? Will I go out swinging? Will I die swinging and knocking off all the Vaishnavas and offending them? This is my last day. So that is the mood of a progressive Vaishnava. He's always aware that death is right around the corner. Death is right over his shoulder. This is it's not a pessimistic view. It's a realistic view. You may go to the restaurant. You may go to the back to get something. And one cobra may come. In the restaurant? Cobra? Oh, they were there. A few days ago, one cobra was there. Bit someone. So death is there, comes in different forms. So we can wait to the very end of life and we can take sannyas, or we can do like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was not exactly correct or sure, but he was between 14 and 15, Prabhupada writes in the introduction of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, between the ages of 14 and 15, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu married Lakshmi Priya. And then he went to East Bengal to teach Sanskrit and to raise some funds for his ashram, to make some money. And while he was away in East Bengal, Lakshmi Devi, she died in separation. She just died in separation from Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu came back to Mayapur Dham. He was about 15 years old. And then at that time he went to Gaya, at the age of 15 or 16, and then he performed the Pinda for his father, Jagannath Mishra, and he met Ishwara Puri, took initiation at about the age of 16. He returned to Mayapur, and during that year he married Vishnu Priya. Of course, Vishnu Priya, goddess of fortune, the eternal consort of Lord Chaitanya, and so beautiful. So he married her at the age of 16, 17, like that. And then he stayed married for approximately 7 to 8 years. At the age of 24, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. At the age of 24. Actually, it said in the end of his 24th year in the month of March. Soon he was just before he turned 25. It was the end of his 24th year in the month of March, which means January. So, in Chaitanya Mangala, there's a very nice discussion. The reason we're explaining this, there's one example where someone can say, well, I'm following Prabhupada. I plan to take sannyas when I'm 63 or whatever. We should adjust all of that. Because Prabhupada, he also knew his chart. Prabhupada had his chart done, and he knew when he was going to leave this world. And sometimes in New York he would mention it. He said, I am an old man, I could leave at any moment. I am an old man, I could leave at any moment. I am 70 is already gone. 70. Score is 20 years. That means 3 times 20 is 60 plus 10 is 70. 7 years is already gone. And Prabhupada, there's one lecture I heard on the tape. Prabhupada said, 70 is already gone. I'm already 70 years old. I may live another 10 years. Prabhupada said, I may live another 10 years. And he knew very exactly that he would live another 10 years because he had his chart done. It was in his hand. He had his chart done before when he was a child. So we may calculate that I will take sannyas like Prabhupada. But why don't we take sannyas like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He took it at a very young age. He took it 24 years old. He was married at the age of, say, 17. So he's 7 years, he was married to Vishnupriya. And his first marriage when he was about 15 to Lakshmipriya. So we can say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent about 10 years in married life from the age of 15 to 24. So in 10 years it was all finished. So Lochan Das Thakur, he explained the conversation that Vishnupriya had with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on their last night together. They had one last night together because early in the morning, Lord Chaitanya, he ran away from home. He didn't just, because there was no other way to leave, he just ran out of the house, he jumped across into the Ganga with his clothes on, and he swam across the Ganga, and he ran all the way to Katwa to take sannyas. It's about 20 kilometers. Just with that kind of determination, he simply swam across the Ganga early in the morning. But that night, before taking rest, Vishnupriya, they had one conversation. And in that conversation, Vishnupriya brought up the subject. He said, Mahaprabhu, I understand that you're going to take sannyas. Mahaprabhu had only told a few people that he was going to take sannyas. Nityananda, Advaita, Srivas, Gadadhar Pandit, a few devotees, Murari Gupta, they knew that he was going to take sannyas. But he didn't tell all the devotees because they were too much upset, too much sad, too much crying. This is the same mood, just as Krishna left Mathura, left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. In the same way, Mahaprabhu, he left Mayapur to go to Katwa, take sannyas. So it's a very, very sad event for the Mayapur Vasi to hear about the leaving of Mahaprabhu, leaving, cutting off his beautiful hair. So in that conversation, he was speaking wonderful philosophy to his wife, Vishnupriya. He was saying, look, I am not your husband. Krishna is the ultimate husband of everyone. This attraction for the body, my body, your body, this is all Maya, this is illusion. You should not be attached. And he was preaching very nicely and very sensitively, with great affection and sensitivity. And she was crying and she said, don't, please don't leave me. How can you leave me? I will commit suicide if you leave. I cannot exist. And he told her, no, you take shelter of Krishna. It is all right. You'll be like that. It's a very nice conversation. And then finally, she understood, I understand that this is the will of the Lord, that you have to take sannyas as part of your mission, that I can't stop you. But my heart breaks at the thought of your leaving me. So at that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he manifested his four-arm form. He manifested Vishnu Roop, Chakra Guru. And he said, did you see? I'm your eternal consort. I'm your eternal husband, Narayan, and you are my Lakshmi. We are never separated. We are eternally together. And then when she saw that form, of course, she was completely overwhelmed with ecstasy and very, very relieved and happy to understand, to know that she was actually internally would be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his eternal consort. And then there were some other things, and that was that. So we see from the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can pray to him. We're living in his place. He's here. This pastime took place here in Mayapur Dham. And right down the road, this happened. So we can pray to him for detachment. We can pray for him for the spiritual strength to enter into the next phase of life. The world needs sannyasis. The world needs preachers. And the grihasthas, they need to take up this call. Because this is the next stage. One must always be progressive. Where am I now, and where do I have to go from here? One never thinks, oh, I've made it. I've made it. Now I'm a sannyasi. I've made it. Now I'm a guru. I've made it. Now I'm a GDC. I've made it. You haven't made anything until you're completely free from all material desires. When our hearts are completely pure, and we're always seeing Radha Madhava, moment to moment, everywhere, in everything, in everyone, then we've made something. We've attained something by mercy of Guru and Krishna. So we shouldn't think, oh, now I'm a grihastha, everything's very nice, I have my home, I have my family, I have my service, I have my fixed bank account, my father died and left me a nice inheritance, so I have no financial worries. No, there is no secure position in this world. Life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. At any moment we can die. We should take encouragement from Kardama Muni and from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's example to increase our detachment, our knowledge, and to start to actually think about it and make some plan. Because whatever you plan, whatever you desire, that will come about. But if you make no plan for sannyas, like somebody else might think, me? Me, a sannyasi? No, I forget it. Never happened. It can't happen. Well, if we have that defeatist attitude, then it never will happen. It never will happen. But if we're sincere and serious, we can also take sannyas. And some of the oldest Prabhupada disciples in the movement that we know in America, they're not even talking about it or even thinking about sannyas. And they're very good preachers. They've proven themselves during Prabhupada's time as being very good preachers, able to convince people of philosophy, they're very intelligent. But when you bring up the idea of taking sannyas, they say, not now, later. Not now, later. And they're in their 50s. 50 years old, 52, 3. So it's a very frightening thing. But we're living in the Dham. So all the grihasthas here are very fortunate. They're more fortunate than any other grihasthas. Because they have the mercy of the Dham showering upon them at every moment. And the Dham will fulfill your desires. Whatever desires you cultivate in the Holy Dham will surely be fulfilled without doubt. So if this is your desire, if you're meditating and carrying with you and revealing to the Dham and to Mahaprabhu, then the Dham will bless you with that detachment. It will bless you with that transcendental knowledge. It will bless you with that purity to take the sannyas darshan. So we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions? Let me answer one first. I wasn't sure I heard it. I think the Prabhu said that you're a grihastha and you take sannyas, who will take care of your wife and children? If you don't have children, who will take care of your wife if you don't have children and the husband takes sannyas? Krishna. Maharaj said Krishna will take care. Krishna will take care. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanya Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam, Jovididati Kaman. What do those elephants do out there? They just sit there and wag their tails and rock back and forth on their legs. They just go like this all day. They just go like this all day and hundreds of pounds of banana trees and gallons of water and all kinds of sweet balls and sugar cane and all kinds of things come in their mouth and all they do is go like this. So all you have to do, you know, you just tell your wife to go like this and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And she'll get all kinds of sugar cane. Hare Krishna! You guys are anxious to be back there. I think we all can move to the back. Sounds like that's where all the fun is back there. Anyway, that's because that's near the kitchen, you know. They get all the mahabhas behind them back there. They're yelling. We think they're yelling about the class, but actually they're having a big maha feast back there. Because in Radha Damodar Mandir in Vrindavan, after the offerings were cleared from Radha Damodar, Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, Das Raghunath was staying at Shamakan. These four generally would meet behind the deities, just like where those boys are. There's a little room there. They would meet there and take all the Mahaprasadam, the Radha-Dhamma, and have great discussions, have wonderful discussions. And of course, they'd be laughing and joking. So, who will take care of the wife when I take sannyas? Krishna will take care. In other words, when each lady and each man came to this movement, he gave up everything, and he thought, he didn't think about his insurance policy, he didn't think about the retirement benefits, he didn't think about anything, he just depended on Krishna. And Krishna took care. So now we're at a crossroads where someone becomes a grihastha and they say, oh, Krishna's not taking care. Krishna will definitely take care of every surrendered devotee. Krishna will definitely take care of every surrendered devotee. But if we want to have more than what Krishna wants to give us, then that becomes a problem. Krishna wants to give us Shuddha body and a thatched hut. Here's your thatched hut. Here's your broken iron cup. Here, you'll be like Kulavacha Sridhar and his wife. He said, oh, I can't do it. Well, that's what Krishna's allotting to you. That's your allotment. He's giving everyone their allotment. So he may give that grihastha a little bit, and the grihastha family may think, I can't live with that. I can't live in a shack. Okay, then you have to go outside of Krishna's shelter to get more money for more facilities. But we see all around the world that devotees that are fully surrendered to Krishna, Krishna never forsakes a fully surrendered devotee. When a devotee has secret plans, when a devotee is harboring material desires, when he's keeping a separatist mentality or separate plans in his mind for how he wants to enjoy but serve Krishna, enjoy a little, serve a little, enjoy a little, serve a little, then his life becomes very, very difficult. Very difficult. As a brahmachari, it becomes difficult, or as a grihastha. But basically, the answer to that question is that Krishna will take care. He took care of the lady when she was a brahmacharini. Why should now she's a brahmacharini again? She was a brahmacharini. She came and she got married, and she was taken care of as a brahmacharini. Now she got married, and her husband pretended he was taking care of her, or whatever. And then she's back to being a brahmacharini again, or a widow. So now the deal's off, the contract's broken, Krishna won't take care anymore. He had one more question. Oh, there's a comment. He said that he was in the room when Srila Prabhupada, Satrupa Maharaj, had called in two widows, two ladies whose husband had gone. And they said, what should we do now, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, now Krishna is your husband. Krishna is your husband now. Your other husband, he's finished, he's gone. Forget about him. Krishna is your husband. You should do everything for Krishna. You should cook for the deity. You should cook for Krishna. You should sew clothes for Krishna. You should do all services for Krishna. Make Krishna be everything in your life, and you'll have no problem. Understand somehow to in order to give a peaceful answer in Kaladesha Patra in terms of time, places. In other words, we were also in charge of the temple, and when we had our temple, we made sure all the grihasthas did arsik and all that. But here it appears that there's a very high standard, and like that, it's only one grihastha has the good fortune of worshipping Radha Madhava. So that's even more encouragement to take sannyas.
That should be another inspiration for the Grihastha to say, Sannyasi, I want to worship. The sannyasis are up there worshiping. Why can't I worship Radhamadav? And you go to Chani, you go, I want to worship Radhamadav. He says, okay, take sannyas. Okay, I'm taking sannyas. I want to worship Radhamadav. So it's another inspiration for the Grihastha to take sannyas. Anyway, to keep, give a peaceful answer to the local situation. The question is, well, the Grihastha is not allowed to do deity worship, and Prabhupada says that Grihastha, in the seventh canto purport, he says that Grihastha, if they don't engage in deity worship, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. Is that clear?